This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we're back. We've got Landon Lucas in studio for one more segment. Kind enough to stick around. We're just shooting the breeze about basketball. So we have a mutual friend who introduced us, of course, being Rock Chalk, you know.
Kansas legends. The both of you.
Yeah, and I mean, now we're buddies.
Two Elite Eights, you with the Pheasant Bowl. I mean,
yeah,
the fumble recovery.
That's right.
Am I missing something? Was there some big...
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, you're missing a lot.
Yeah, you're missing a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. He recovered a fumble once in youth football in the Pheasant Bowl. Maybe you've heard of it. It was kind of a big deal.
I'm surprised you don't know.
I should have done my research.
Like the 1987 Pheasant Bowl is a big deal in Kansas lore.
I think it was 1986. But, well, anyway, the story is my mom, she cleans out the garage and stuff. She keeps everything.
Okay.
And then she cleans it out and sends it to me as if I want it.
Yeah.
And she sent me a program from like the 1986 Pheasant Bowl. I was in like eighth grade. I was playing football. It's like the 2 years I played football. And there it was. I was in the program, the old Steelers. Yeah. So I was an athlete. I know we played golf this morning.
Yes. And I knew you were an athlete.
Yeah.
From
you
that.
Saw it up close. Yes. But yeah, I mean, it goes all the way back to 1986. Also, I want to play something for you from one of our listeners. He reminded us of this. So this is me on the air.
Okay.
Watching Kansas lose to Michigan. Do you remember? It says before you got there.
Trey Burke.
Yes. Trey Burke.
Yep. This is the Trey Burke shot.
Trey Burke just took over the game.
Yeah. This is the clutch, the double clutch kind of three.
Yep.
And we're getting ready to sign off.
This was live on the air right as we were signing off the show. I'm watching it live.
We're turning off.
That was it.
You've
that
been
was
listening
you.
To Prime.
See
time
this thing over here? That was what. That was that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I just slowly got up and left
We're
the studio.
Off.
Yeah. That's all Kansas fans.
God, I was so pissed at that.
That's all Kansas. I mean, we would lose a game, and the city of Kansas would be in a slump for a week.
Yeah. Well, the state, but yeah, you said city.
State of Kansas.
Yeah, but he went to Findlay Prep.
Yes.
You know.
I have to ask about this.
Yes.
Peel all this. We'll get to the charity thing in a minute. We'll probably keep you for another segment because this is what we do. But I got to ask about Findlay Prep. So I know your dad. Dad's a great guy. Oregon through and through. You, from here, but in typical basketball fashion, you played at three different high schools.
I did.
Including Findlay Prep, which is my favorite school in the country because it's not a school. It's just some rich guy's house.
Yes, Findlay is a auto shop guy down there in Vegas. And he started a basketball team it was supposed to be a kind of a feeder into UNLV because he is a big, I think he's alumni there.
Yeah, and he's a big booster.
Booster, okay. Well, anyways, they paired up with a school, which was Henderson. I think it was Henderson, Nevada, Henderson something. But it was a like K through fifth grade school. And then they brought in tutors teachers.
You went to an elementary school.
Pretty much. We were walking down the halls with little kids running around like our ankles and
that's
stuff.
What Findlay is?
That's what Findlay is. And then we would just go into the class and it would be us.
So you go there, okay, so you go to play ball, and you play ball, and it's like AAU, like big-time ball, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and you live at the rich guy's house, right? It's like a mansion.
He has a few houses.
And you stay there.
The team stays together.
And for classes, you're saying you go to, like, some school in Henderson, and it's a K through 5 school.
And then we would have our own. We weren't in classes with the little kids, but we'd be walking down the hall with them. And then we would go into our classrooms, which they had designated teachers for us.
Okay.
And we traveled so much. We played so many away games that it really, you know, most of our things were tutors. But, yeah.
Was it legit? Legit.
What I'll say, okay, so I was at the time being recruited by Stanford and Harvard, mm-hmm. And they both had to send people to the school just to check it out and make sure that they, you know, and they recommended that I went home and took some AP classes if I wanted to have a chance to get in. So that's kind of what we'll tell you a little bit about Findlay.
One of my favorite parts about the Findlay Prep story, I guess it goes that the K through five, the Henderson like International Academy,
that's it. Yeah,
Henderson International, yeah. Right? They were going to shutter the doors. They didn't have enough students, and so they were just going to close doors. And the rich guy that founded Findlay Prep just wrote him a check.
Even know that.
Yeah, he just wrote him a check. I think this was after you left.
Okay.
He needed a school
to stay open.
To stay open. So Findlay Prep is just a rich dude's house, and he needed a school to stay open. So he wrote them a check just to keep the doors open.
Wow.
So it stopped even being a K through five school. It was just
so they don't even have students there anymore.
I don't think so. I think it's just a school that he keeps open now with his checkbook so that he can then send his
for the 10 people on the team to go to.
Yes. Right. I think it's a high school now of 10 kids.
You did 1 year there?
I did 1 year there.
Why did you leave there?
Well, I at the time had I signed with Kansas. So I was already committed. It wasn't huge for the recruiting process. And then
you wanted to go to a real high school?
You wanted to go
to classes with other students and stuff like that, not with little kids.
Man, dating life's probably a little harder.
And yeah, it was a little tough. But so we decided that, you know, it's best for me to go ahead and go.
Okay.
Home.
Like, how shady is AAU basketball? Like, is it all?
Yeah.
It's just, yeah.
I mean, it is. You'll get different levels of it, too. I was fortunate to find a really good team up in Washington that I went and played with for most of my career. But there's different levels of shadiness.
So. Well, then you get them into the sneaker companies.
Yeah.
And they're involved in AAU. And then the NCAA thing now. And Kansas is under the microscope now.
Unfortunately.
What do you think of all this stuff? Like, it's so hard to reconcile.
It's a bummer. I mean, it's just a bummer that it even comes up. I mean, I think the kids should be paid. But the problem is, it's just too, I mean, even if that happened, there would still be some shadiness. And, I mean, it's going to be there. So,
Kids open about it? Like, I mean, obviously, like, you're not getting into specifics, but at Kansas, you're at Duke, you're at North Carolina.
Hey, this is how much I got.
Yeah, you're with high profile kids, and you know that kids are driving certain cars. Yeah, so is it amongst players? Is it something that people talk about, or is
not
it
much.
Really just
not
everyone
much.
Keeps it quiet?
You know, not much. And also, I mean, most of these kids that get any benefits, most of the time it's going to their family anyways.
Yeah.
And they try to not to be too aware of it themselves. So, I mean, if there's anything going on, you know, it's not going to be just, hey, locker room talk. Hey, this is how much they put in my bag.
Yeah.
Well, not only that, but it feels like it's just only the elite kids. I mean, it's not it's not everybody, but.
No, I mean, that's the ones that you hear about. I mean, the big, most, they're not going to pay a ton. They don't need to, you know, because it's like they can go out and get, they don't even really need to pay for the big, you know, recruits because they could get somebody else. But, I mean, it is what it is.
So is it your opinion that, again, generally speaking, a head coach has to know this stuff's going on.
Yeah.
But he's.
I think that there's very, very little involvement. I mean, very little to none. Whether he knows or not, that's tough.
Yeah,
because the head coach knows almost everything. I mean, Coach Self knew where we were at all times. I mean, but with that being said, it's hard for me to believe that those top, you know, Self, Coach K, any of those top coaches would ever personally be the ones to.
Yeah, you got people. You got people for that.
Unless you're Rick Pitino.
Yeah, Rick, I don't know what was going on.
Dude, that guy.
So. Well, look, Rick does whatever the hell Rick wants to do. Look at that white suit. When you wear a white suit on the sidelines like that with a red tie, Colonel Sanders-esque.
He's over there in Greece right now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's coaching in Greece.
I bet you he's having a great time.
We tried everything. We played four white guys and an Egyptian. I mean, we tried everything.
Did you hear that?
Who was that?
So that's Pitino.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Like they ran up the score on someone, and someone asked him about it, and he defended it by saying that at the end of the game they were playing four white guys and an Egyption.
they were trying not to win.
They were trying. It just happened.
Greece called you, right?
Yeah,
don't you have some opportunities there?
Yeah, so.
Is that his team?
It was not his team, but there's a few teams in Greece, and it was one of their rivals, I guess. But I would have, yeah, I would have been out there playing against Rick.
That wouldn't be a bad gig, going to Greece and playing ball.
I wouldn't mind it. I'm telling you, Greece, like I said, Barcelona, any of those places. Yeah. Hey, if you can go out there, have a good time, why not?
Okay, so now that you're back,
yes.
Your charity. Tell us about your charity, the one that you did in Lawrence, and then what you're bringing here.
We started a foundation in Lawrence, Kansas when I graduated. And we really wanted to provide opportunity and access to kids in sports who didn't have it otherwise. So it was something I kind of wanted to do in the future, but the amount of support that I got from Kansas fans, as you know, they're very supportive out there. They got behind us and we got this thing started. We were able to help a ton of kids. Provide scholarships for them. We're now moving into opening up parks around Lawrence and really just, like I said, providing whatever is needed between transportation, equipment, fees. Sports are getting expensive these days, and we know how impactful a kid playing in sports can be for them. Outside of the court or the field, the life lessons that you learn are so big, and that's why we decided to go with Sports for Life as the scholarships that we gave up, because it's for your whole life. You know, you learn a lot that you take into the business world, you take into whatever you do after, that some kids aren't fortunate enough to be able to get.
Well, I feel like too, and you and I talked about this a little bit, but I just feel like, because I had a kid, and I was a kid who was not, contrary to social media, not an elite athlete, right? And my kid just wanted to play.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to go get a college scholarship anywhere. And I feel like having gone through that with him and through myself, although it was a little different back then, it's either you're elite and you get on the elite teams and you're with the elite coaches, or there really isn't an opportunity in sports for you anymore. It feels like that, you know?
And it's true. And the thing is, if you are elite, you are fortunate, even if you don't have the funds, there's people who will help, you know.
If
you know, there was
player.
Times where I didn't, I didn't have the funds to play or the fees, and people would help out. But I promise you, if I wasn't, very talented, it might have been a little bit tougher to find that.
Exactly.
So we don't want to leave those kids behind, because they can still gain just as much, if not more, from playing in that sport. And so we want to really make sure that we don't leave any kids behind. If any kid wants to participate in anything, we've had a kid do archery. I mean, whatever it is that they're into, we want to support that, something that they're passionate about, and make sure that they have those opportunities.
So you're bringing that here?
I am bringing that here, and we're starting that up. We're partnering with a bunch of people out here and really getting going and hoping to maybe even do more than what we've done in Lawrence and start making an impact on the place where I'm from.
So what website or what is it called? And what?
So it's Landon Lucas Foundation right now, and you can find that online and through our social media. And we'll be announcing a little bit more on our social media about the partnerships and the things that we are doing here in Portland. So you could follow along for that. But that's really good. How you could find it. And we would love, as we make this move, any suggestions or ideas that come about, we're open to everything.
Good for you, man. That's
Thank
great.
You.
I
Thank
think
you
that's really
much.
Cool. And the guy who introduced us is doing a little bit of that too. We gotta give Quincy a shout out, man.
Yeah.
Quincy's doing what you're talking about through golf.
Yes.
And helping
I know Quincy because he did that for me when I was younger with the PYGA, and he taught me how to play golf.
He was your golf coach.
I don't know if you could tell today.
Yeah.
I actually had a few lessons when I was younger, but he taught me, and that was huge, and so the stuff he's doing is great too. And really, sports is just huge. I mean, that's the thing. You don't even have to be good at it, but you can still get the lessons from them.
And Quincy Hurd, by the way, is his name, and he's who introduced us, and he's with Summit Golf Foundation. He does great work.
Great guy. You did get the
I did get his money. I got back in his wallet, and so he's pissed about it.
Oh, man.
30 bucks
and
I got
the golf
from,
pro, too, right? I mean,
he's a golf pro, yeah. And
big time.
Humble brag.
Who won?
Humble brag.
So did you guys go? Did he give you strokes?
Yeah. He has to. He's a pro. But he's a zero.
I thought that you might have got him without them today.
Did you? I probably would have. I probably didn't even need the strokes.
Oh, wow.
That's how athletic
see.
I am.
We'll see. Yeah,
from fumble recovery to this, the athleticism, it's
through the roof.
It's legendary.
It's crazy. Well, thanks, man. It was good to.
Thank you for having me.
Good to connect. Yeah. You're welcome in here anytime. Anytime you want to get the word out about the charity or anything you're doing, let us know so we can. Hit the area. I think it's important. And it's Landon Lucas. Thank you very much. And we'll see you again
soon. Thanks for having
me. And we'll be back with In the News coming up on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, appreciate Landon Lucas dropping by there. We'll be hearing from him again. He's good. He's a natural.
Yeah, he's
on the air. We've got the Ryan Tannehill talk that you didn't know you needed coming up.
Who knew that there'd be Ryan Tannehill news today? Right? Not me.
No, it's sports is the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah.
You wake up and like, wait.
Yeah, Ryan Tannehill.
Well, let's spend a segment on that.
Well, what the hell else are we going to do?
Well, In the News is coming up next, and we will discuss the shelter ship for the homeless.
Yeah, we didn't get to talk about the homeless taken to the high seas, which seems like a natural. Can't put them up in balloons, right? Or can you?
I guess you could.
Yeah, what about a bunch of homeless hot air balloons? Just have them floating around up there?
Inefficient. You can only get 10 or 15 of them.
And what's landing on the roads beneath them?
That's true. It's a valid point. Where is the high seas? You just got the water. Drop them off.
So I want to play something for you real quick. You see Zion last night.
Yes.
13 for
Dude, that was 13. That was ridiculous. You think he was a little motivated to come back?
Dude, that guy's awesome.
I do love, though, that the NCAA continues with their amateurism thing. And if you give the kid $100, that's a violation. But Nike can send individuals over to China to make sure that the 12-year-old stitching together his shoes do a proper job and then hand deliver them back to Zion Williamson.
Is that what they did?
Yeah. Nike said that they sent people to Duke, right? And then they sent those same guys, they like took foot measurements, went over to China, and they supervised the manufacturing process of his.
Really?
Yeah, he went from the Paul George shoe to the Kyrie Irving shoe, and they personally overwatched the construction of it so they'd be extra durable and then hand delivered them back to Duke.
Was that necessary?
No, it's a bit much.
Good grief.
Well, really what happened was I guess he had been playing in the same pair of shoes for too long a time, and he's a big-ass dude that puts a lot of torque on it, and he blew the shoe out.
Well, anyway, last night during the game, and they've been talking about a little bit on SportsCenter, but one of the Syracuse players, Mike's Syracuse players.
Frank Howard.
Tried to trip Zion.
Yeah, he tried to pull a, who was the kid from Duke? Grayson Allen was a master of this.
So Jay Williams, who happened to have played at Duke, you remember?
Yes.
He did not like that.
Well, there's a shocker.
But Jay always says that, and he's been saying since it happened, he's like, oh, I was equally as tough on Grayson Allen, when he was doing this a couple years ago. I said the same thing.
Yeah.
He's very adamant about that. Well,
Do we check the tape?
That is not true.
Is that a Francesa thing?
Jay Williams is pulling a Mike Francesa, this from TMZ. And this is his comments from last night, followed by comments from a couple years ago.
Game. There is no place in the game for stuff like this. I said the same thing when the Grayson Allen stuff happened a couple years ago. The same thing just happened there with Frank Howard. We have the replay. You see that straight up. There is no place in the game for that. No place in the game for that. It's uncalled for. And I wish we could go back because that's a play that where I feel like players need to get
in. I think when I look at Grayson as an NBA player, I think he translates a little bit differently. I think he can be a good NBA player. I kind of like, I'm over it. I like the fact that he trips people. Why not? Be a villain. Enjoy it. Like, I'm not saying it's right, but I will say sometimes there's a tendency to overreact because as a Duke player, you're always hated against. Yeah. People are always telling you that you're soft. You're a choir boy. So sometimes you want to prove to people, like, no, like, I'm from not a great area. Like, I can play basketball just like anybody else.
Oops. I think he forgot he said that.
Yeah. Sorry, Jay. And by the way, what the hell what does that have to do with being a good basketball player, being from a not so great area? Like, what is that?
Well, I think he was clunkily trying to say that Duke the Duke kids are just like the rich elite.
Yeah.
But they're not like they're from the mean streets as
well.
Hey,
I'm from a crappy area too. Like that's some sort of badge of honor. And I do enjoy that in the world of sports, like having two parents or I don't know, coming from even a middle class background that somehow that's a knock on you. Like, man, you suck. You got parents that love you. You had food on your table. What the hell?
Well, I don't know. The Duke players are soft.
Clearly. Yeah.
And they I've always thought that about them.
Yeah. And they've never gone on and won anything.
Oh, they're good, but
I said the same thing. Oh, I love that he's tripping people. Shows you from the mean streets, Grayson Allen.
All right. Coming up next in the news, it is a homeless shelter ship. Good idea or bad idea?
I love this. I want it to be a big, like, Spanish galleon, like an old pirate ship.
Here is Mike with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, a little Ryan Tannehill talk coming up. Tiger Woods takes a 7. The Hot 5 at 5. Friday randoms. So much.
The Tannehill stuff relates to Colin Kaepernick as well. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you can tie in some Kaepernick into the Tannehill news.
Love that. That's all coming up right now, though. It is 4:34 on March 15, 2019. It's time for the news. I am your noted newsman. Today is World Sleep Day.
Do we really? Like sleep day? We need to honor sleep?
I think we should honor sleep.
Well, sleep's fantastic, but isn't like every day? I mean, you go to sleep every day.
Well, I think the point is some people don't value sleep the way they should. We should value sleep more. Sleep's very important.
It is. I don't know if I value it maybe as much as some.
You should.
I'm not going to say that I find sleep to be... It's not overrated because...
Well, you're a guy who doesn't sleep much.
Yeah, but I also feel like you don't... Like, this whole notion that you need, like, 12 hours of sleep or 10 or 8...
Well, 8 is different than 10 and is different than 12. They do say you need 7 to 8.
Yeah, like the whole Olympic thing.
I don't know about 12.
Well, there's, like, the supposedly, like, elite athletes, like Tom Brady and company, they try to get 10 or 12 hours of sleep or whatever... I just think for the average Joe Schmo out there, it's like we make a huge deal of sleep. All right, some nights maybe you only get like, you know, 3 to 4 hours, or some nights you get 6, or some nights you get 7. I feel like we bitch and complain a lot about sleep, and I find it to be a bit much. It's a bit of a dandy there.
I have a different view of it. I think sleep is really, really important, way more important than most people give it credit for, and I get my 7.5 to 8.5 every single night. And if I don't,
yeah,
I feel it.
Do you?
I absolutely feel it.
And do you get all cranky and bitchy about it?
Well, I mean, I try not to, but yeah, I mean, oh, wait, about it or just get, because you're tired, you get, you know, sometimes you get cranky.
I just hear people all the time, it's like, I didn't sleep, or I didn't, you know, I had to wake up, and like the whole daylight savings
thing. Well,
this
sounds like sour grapes from you, because you don't sleep much, and so you're pissed that other people are bitching about that.
It's one of those things that I don't find we complain a lot about it. Pull up your socks, all right? Strap on your big boy pants and go about your day.
It is also everything you think is wrong day.
Oh.
Everything you think is wrong.
There you go.
So you're wrong and I'm wrong. Wait.
Clearly. Someone has to be right.
Okay, let's get to it. This from coin.com. Mike Lynch found this little nugget of local news that you can use. Dan Yates is the president of the Portland Spirit. You know the Portland Spirit right down there on the Willamette?
Yes.
And
not to be confused with the Sternwheeler.
No, that's on the Columbia.
I've been on both.
Right?
The Willamette.
Don't the olds ride the Stern... Like the... it's not called the Sternwheeler.
Yeah, the Sternwheeler.
Up on the Columbia?
Yeah.
Go see the gorge?
Yeah, I think that's the Sternwheeler.
That was called something else. Anyway, Portland Spirit's down here where all the homeless, you know, there's a lot of homeless down right there, you know?
I'm familiar with it.
And so Dan Yates is probably pretty pissed about the homeless problem.
There are.
I would imagine he is.
I will tell you that, like, I ride my bike sometimes along the Springwater Trail there, and it is,
it's crazy.
It is miles and miles of homeless encampments.
When you are a business owner down there, as he is,
it's tough.
What do you do? Yeah, it's tough. That's hard, man. So he has sent a letter to the mayor of Portland, Ted Wheeler. You know Wheels?
I'm familiar.
And he pitched the idea to turn a 370-foot ship into a homeless shelter.
Yes, 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 all kinds of yes.
So in his letter, he wrote, this vessel could be deployed much quicker, cheaper than locating and building a similar size shelter. He estimates the ship could house 1,000 people and employ a couple dozen. They would convert open space into rooms with bunk beds and family units with space for personal items. The Multnomah County Joint Office of Homeless Services said the lavish idea is unlikely to leave the dock.
It needs to happen. And not only does it need to happen, but I would like to be the designer of said ship, because I'm envisioning like a big pirate ship, like a big Spanish, just, you know, like a... like the old, like the what are the Spanish galleons just out there on the open seas. Tell me that's not fantastic, right? The homeless waving to you as they go by, pulling over on the side of the river, people jumping in on a hot day. They can do a 1.5 into the Willamette, paddle around a little bit. Oh, I'm so on board with this.
I gotta say, I think it's a terrible idea.
It worked for
Noah.
And
it will never work.
Why not?
Well,
what's so terrible about it?
I think you'd have, I mean, how many people would you have in the water in the first
we've got
30 minutes?
We've got lifeboats. We can get raft. All those ships have the little...
I just think it would be
I've seen the Love Boat. They've got the little the rings that you can throw out to them. What if you put safety nets on the side to make sure people don't tip off? Look, no one, everyone's tired of the homeless, like mucking up the dry land. Put them on the ocean. Put them on the water. Let's go to the rivers. I think this is an ingenious idea, and someone's thinking outside of the box.
Well, he's certainly attempting to think outside the box, but I'm not sure this is the right way to do it. Getting services to them, and they need a lot of services, many of them. It would be troublesome, Jace. How are you going to get how are you going to get anything to them?
What do you mean? You stock the ship with it. Again, in every good Spanish galleon, there's a mess hall down there. They can peel their own potatoes. We've got like an apple barrel. I'm thinking we go...
And you're teaching them jobs.
Yes. I'm thinking straight pirate culture. You know, and they come to land a couple times a day, and they kind of get on and off.
Well, what happens if they just wind up going to the Columbia and then going out to the Pacific Ocean?
Well, I think that's what Sook's advocating, is sending them far, far away.
Well, here's the thing.
Which is also...
How about this? So, I'm not
kidding.
Maybe
they'll meet up with the large trash pile in the Pacific Ocean.
Oh, Hawaii!
And how long before that ship is totally trashed? I mean, just absolutely torched.
Well, are they going to complain about it? No.
Well, no, you're onto something there in the sense that... It's like... Because, like, look, the homeless problem, you know, it's a complicated problem.
Yes. It calls for complicated solutions. See homeless ships.
Well, it's like one of the things is that bothers me a little bit, though. I'm very sympathetic to the issue, but sometimes it's like, you know, it's like you don't need to pee right there, or like you don't need to leave your feces. You know, like just tidy up. Look, I get it. I want to help, and we need to do better about this, but can you not? Can you just kind of
rein it in a little bit?
Tidy it up a little bit? Yeah. So to your point, maybe if you throw them all on a ship, they have to tidy up.
Yes, because it's confined spaces. And here's the other thing. So Hawaii, I'm not kidding, Hawaii is doing this. Hawaiian is buying, the state of Hawaii is buying one-way tickets for their homeless, and they're sending them to the mainland, right? What if we pack up ours and we send them back? We send them back via ship. How great would it be?
Return to sender.
Hawaii is like, hey, we got rid of a bunch of them. And then next thing you know, just a ship pulls up to the docks in Honolulu, and they're like, hey, by the way, we got about 800 here. And they're happy because it's nicer weather. They're on the beach.
Hasn't Hawaii always been throwing people on flights, like one-way tickets?
Yes. Yeah, that's what they're doing.
So we could call this the USS Vagabond.
Send them back out. I think this is a great idea, and I don't like that we're just poo-pooing this right off the bat. Look, I get there's some kinks that need to be worked out, but I think we brainstorm this, and I think we're on to something.
I think we need a fleet.
Well, absolutely. I'm not talking about just one ship. No, no, no.
So
many ships.
The spokesperson for the county said that's a really hard number of folks to manage and get services to. We don't want it to be just a place where people languish all day. Our shelters have service connections. That's part of the model that makes sure people have case managers, classrooms, housing navigators, etc. It would cost $5 million Okay, so this guy said the shelter with 100 to 200 beds typically work best, and the price tag is another concern. It would cost $5 million to buy and $15,750 to get it ready to board.
Mm-hmm. Someone's asking me about, like...
And he says we don't have the money.
We keep talking about trash and poop. Can the Willamette, or the Willametta, I should say, can it get any worse? We already call it the poop-filled Willametta.
Willametta.
Look, that river's too far gone anyways. I say we steer into the skid here. And, look, we already got one problem. Let's solve a different one.
Are you curious what the mayor said about it?
Tell me he's on board. Tell me he's on board. Tell me he's on board.
He said... A spokesperson for the mayor's office released this statement, quote, the mayor is appreciative of private sector partners coming to the table with innovative solutions. The proposal to house people experiencing homelessness on a ship doesn't seem feasible at this point.
Damn it.
End quote.
I am not happy that this idea is not getting off the ground. I haven't been this
can
excited about something.
On that thing?
Yes. Yes, I can.
God.
I don't know why I'm enjoying it so much, but the idea of a ship of a couple hundred homeless people... They make it a reality TV show. Put some cameras on there and we can fund it that way.
And they could make some money.
Yes. Let me ask you this.
Win-win.
It's going to be on Fox, clearly. But if I told you that 9
o'clock... Why clearly?
I was thinking MTV.
No, this is a Fox thing. I feel like this is right up. It's along with like Fornication Island or whatever, like the what? Cheesy... Whatever they have, like, they have all those shows where, like, all the exes get together and then they just get it on the beach.
That's MTV.
That's, I swear, like, Fox is doing all those. Maybe it's Intercourse Island. I don't know, whatever it's called. All I'm saying is, if you're telling me that if I told you tonight, Fox or MTV, whatever, at 9:30 was, like, insert, I'm trying to think of the what you would call it. Again, just maybe the homeless ship. That's the name of the show.
Homeless Andia.
Yeah. And I told you that that's what was going to be broadcast for an hour. You're telling me you don't tune into that? Of course you do. The homeless on the high seas? You haven't thought of an idea that good in your life.
All right. Coming up next, what if... Okay, so have you ever thought about this? You live in Vancouver.
Yes.
So Oregon and Washington have the daylight, they want to stop daylight savings time, you know?
Yeah.
So you live in Vancouver, but you work in Oregon.
I know where you're going with this.
What if they don't both pass the law? One does and one doesn't.
So it's 2 o'clock where I live, but it's 3 o'clock where I
work.
Right
over the water. Yes. How would that go?
I think this means that I get to show up whenever the hell I want to.
Is that what that means?
I think that's what that means. The boss is like, why aren't you here at the start of the show? Boss, it's 2 o'clock at my house right now. I got an hour. Sorry. I'll be there at 3 o'clock, a.k.a. 4 your time.
All right, we'll get to that next on The Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, hot five at 5 in 10 minutes. Ryan Tannehill will be taking over for Marcus Mariota any day now.
He gets Mariota. Hurt. He gets hurt a lot, so.
So we'll get to that. But, yeah, this is in the news March 15th. A lot of people weighing in on the on Dan Yates' idea of the homeless ship.
And more importantly, my idea to turn it into a reality show. While insensitive, it's really, really funny. And some of the ideas for said show are quite enjoyable. I was laughing pretty hard.
Bum voyage.
You're telling me you wouldn't watch Bum Voyage on Fox? You know you would.
It's horrible.
Swag just said you could call it a drift. There's so many good ones.
Hobo.
The Hoboat. Can I get Captain Stubing back? Oh, I love it.
Okay,
I need to refocus.
So what would happen if Oregon and Washington, so they're both trying to stop daylight savings time, but what if one did and one didn't? What then would happen to the Vancouver to Portland commuters? How does that work?
Well, I'm assuming you'd have to go on wherever your job's at, right? I mean,
so if it's 3 o'clock here,
yeah,
but it's only 2 o'clock up there, You just gotta shuffle on down.
You gotta realize it'd be a bit awkward, like stores closing.
But you're off an hour earlier.
You're like, hey, I gotta go over to Best Buy and pick up a TV. Ah, they close at 9. You're like, damn it. It'd be odd. It would be really, really weird. And I would have to think that the states would almost have to partner up.
Yeah, you would think. Like how? Yeah.
I mean, because there's a lot of people. I don't think there's many Portland into Vancouver, but there's a ton of Vancouver into Portland as far as work goes. That just would be really, really bizarre.
I mean, you would be going back an hour every time you came to Portland for work. Uh-oh.
Sorry. That's another title for the show. the have-nots.
Oh, boy.
I can't help it. I just saw it and it got me. Now they're coming in and I can't help it. Oh, I got a little tear in my eye. I know I'm being really insensitive, but I can't help it. It's funny.
You know, you really are.
I know.
You're a real big jerk.
I know. There's someone that was already like, instead of making fun of this, why don't we come up with a real solution? As if I have the solution to solve the homeless problem.
Complex problem, man.
Yes.
Yeah.
Way above my pay grade, all right? I don't have the solution for it. I'm sorry. But if you can't...
But smack dab in the middle of your pay grade, bum voyage.
Yes. That's about the extent of where I can go is bum voyage for the have-nots.
Homeless on the high seas is this year's sleeper hit, Roger Ebert.
It needs a pirates theme. Lynn said that they could board other they can board other yachts.
Horrible.
They have challenges.
Some rich dude on the Columbia. Take over his yacht.
Created an armada of their own.
Horrible.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm sorry. I understand it's insensitive, but I can't help it. Oh, all right. Continue. I'll try to refocus.
No, I think we're done here. I don't think we have time for anything else.
You just keep going. Oh, now we're getting one with the Pirates Cove reference. Oh,
that's a strip club, right?
I know. Maybe they could sponsor a boat. They could sponsor a boat. It would be the most popular ship. Oh, all right. Yeah, I've got nothing for the rest of the segment. I'm going to have to refocus for the Hot 5 at 5.
Skid row your boat? Oh, my God.
Oh.
I'm sorry I brought this up.
Yeah.
All right.
I am too.
Let's get out of here. Coming up next. Whew. You have the Hot 5 at 5 coming at you. Some very big news involving another Kansas City Chiefs, a key Kansas City Chiefs player. Ryan Tannehill gets traded, and we've got updates on the college basketball scores, the golf, the whole thing. All next on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.